Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of the Cemetery Files. I'm your host,
otherwise known as Jay begged me to come online. No.
I'd like to welcome my other host, Kelly Schaefer.
Hello.
Who just grilled on me. Welcome, everybody. It's been a minute since we've been on.
Couple of minutes.
We've been doing
shows to keep the juices flowing, pretty much is what it is. I don't think we quite have anything written down yet as to what we're flipping doing. There's so much we got going on. So much you got going on. You're starting a new podcast.
Yes, I am actually. I am starting a solo podcast. It's called Beyond the Reaper. And I am going to be focusing on NDEs, which is near-death experiences, and the lives that have been touched by the Reaper and beyond, and come back. And so, I'm kind of looking for. I just started getting everything ready. I just got the artwork done. I just made the page and made the inventories. And so, I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, it's in the basic process right now. But having said that, I'm pretty excited. And Kelly, you have an investigation this weekend.
Yeah, we have an investigation that is at the Thomas House in Red Bowling Springs, Tennessee. And the event is the Women's Retreat. And it's only going to be women investigators, and proceeds from this event go to support a domestic violence unit in Nashville. So we're very excited about this. Gina, Kim, and I are going to be attending this event.
Good deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of going on lately. We've been busy.
besides those little projects that we've mentioned.
Right. Yeah. I've been working a lot of hours, and so I'm kind of exhausted this week, but I've got a couple of days off. And so
I've been working too. That,
yeah.
Well, yeah, there was the real estate test last week.
Oh, yeah.
Which I passed.
Congratulations. Very nice.
88 on the state, awesome. 93 on the nationals.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's just endless. I mean, summers are usually busy and, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. But the one thing I do want to get to is our guest, our special guest, who we've both been friends with for a while. And I'm excited to have him on here. For those who don't know, it's Larry Eisler III from Paraflix with Small Town Productions, as well as what? Come on, Kelly.
What?
What?
Did you just lose your thought? Is he here?
No, yet? I didn't. No, he's here. He's here. He's listening to this, probably laughing at us right now. So no, Expedition Entity was the team that is with Dan Norville.
He didn't even give me his media pack, so I'm safe.
You're safe. So without further ado, let's get him.
Hi. Oh, I'm really big.
Hey.
I'm really, really big.
are you like on the other side of the world because it's dark now?
No.
He just likes to be in the dark. Yeah, he stays in the basement.
Alexa, set the desk lamp upper to 100%. Is that better?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so lazy. Everything's voice activated.
Kelly's the same way. She's lazy as well. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't have that.
No, it's not lazy. I did it as a protection. What if I have to turn the lights on and I'm in the bedroom and there's an intruder in my living room?
I did it because I'm lazy.
On without worrying about it.
If there was an intruder in your living room, you're like, I'm in here.
I probably invited him.
Go into the light. Go into the light.
Yeah. So how are you doing, Larry? It's great to have you on the show.
I'm doing really good. A lot of things are in the works this summer, and I'm ready to finally get things moving. Baseball season's almost come to an end, so my life goes from baseball season straight into paranormal season. So,
oh, see, I go from tax season into paranormal season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go into nothing this season to country club season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing 300 plus people a week or actually a weekend.
So you just got done doing some kind of a rigging gear, a gear grips.
Yes.
Best boy or something like that.
I just finished not this last weekend, but the one before. I was the gaffer on a short film.
The gaffer. Okay. Got it.
I basically in charge of setting up lights and planning lights and scenes and running electricity and stuff like that. But I was also at the same time a camera assistant because the cinematographer was using one of my cameras.
He
liked the camera package that I had, and he goes, well, can we use your camera package too? And I said, of course you can, for a cost. And and they said, yeah, we want to use your camera, because I have, you know, the gimbal and the whole vest system that allows for real smooth movement. And
nice.
And they used it, and he goes, well, since I don't know how to put this together and I could really use your help, camera assistant I became.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. It was like 96 degrees all 3 days, and it was outdoor shoots. Yeah. So nothing but sun and sweltering humidity, but still, it was a really good time.
Oh, man.
That sounds like it. I saw the pictures. They look pretty cool. Like,
yeah, there were a lot of pictures that I couldn't post and some videos that I couldn't post just because it gave away a little too much. But, you know, the stuff that I was doing and you know, the crew setups and some light things of the actors, I could post that and that was okay. So,
the project that you gave me a secret?
No. Okay. No, this is not. this was just a paid gig, but they saw some of the stuff that I had done and they said, yeah, I want to bring you aboard. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. Because we were outside and we were under trees a lot, we had to make it look like the actors were still lit. So we had to put lights in the trees to simulate the sun shining through the trees.
Oh, yeah.
But not be too bright because they're supposed to be under trees. So,
yes.
You know, that's why a lot of the pictures are like this really gigantic light through the branches of a tree, because it had to be realistic looking.
Wow.
And, you know, just looking through the monitor and everything, it's going to be fantastic.
I love it.
I can't wait to see you.
So is this feature or where is this headed?
It's a short. It's actually the director's last short they're doing before they move on to their features now.
Okay.
And, I don't know what their plans are yet for how to do it. They did say that there's going to be a screening that people can go to, and there's probably going to be an online thing.
Oh, good.
So,
very cool.
In the film industry, shorts are very problematic because they're great for like a proof of concept or a proof of skill or, you know, your abilities in said job.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like making a lot of money for the director to make their money back, no.
Yeah, the only one who makes money on shorts is Pixar and Disney.
Exactly. So everybody else is just like, oh, cool. This is an example of your work.
That's nice. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's also an example of how I spent $10,000, but sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's my degree. I can do this.
Right. I know all about that.
Well, there's
so tell us a little bit. So tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do this summer. I mean, we've got some projects going.
I have so much going on this summer. So first of all, I'm obviously a full-time dad. I coach my son's travel baseball team, and we have tournaments Thursday through Sunday. And then Wednesday we have practice, and then Monday and Tuesday he works as an umpire.
Oh,
so I'm required to do all these things with him. But you know, our season's coming to an end here, and things like, you know, right now I'm able to try to squeeze in as much paranormal stuff as I can before I have to take him to work in a couple hours.
Yes.
So I have three documentaries that I'm editing over the summer here. The first one, it's called Haunted or Not, and it's about the urban legends of Bloods Point Cemetery.
Nice.
Now, Jay, you're more or less from the area. Have you heard of Bloods Point Cemetery?
Oh, very little, but I have heard of it.
It's supposedly the second most haunted cemetery in all of Illinois. And there are about half a dozen urban legends tied to both the cemetery and the road the cemetery is on.
Okay.
So where is that located?
Out by Dan's neck of the woods, out in rural Boone County.
Okay. Gotcha.
So middle of nowhere.
You know, you're talking to locals when they're out by so-and-so's house.
Right.
Like, we all know where so-and-so lives. Yes.
Well, when you're in the paranormal and then you're in this part of Illinois,
I know.
You know where Dan Norvell lives.
Yes, you do.
But yeah, so we go into the urban legends and talk about, you know, the history of not only the cemetery and the people that settled it and stuff like that, but the area and how these legends came to be and you know, kind of how they grew into what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, interviewed historians, interviewed locals, and got a lot of information that's actually really interesting. And then we were able to bring in a couple investigators to investigate the cemetery itself.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm looking forward to getting that one done. My really good friend, Miranda Young, served as the host for the documentary. And
we had her on our show, and she's great.
She's fantastic.
I feel
so that was one of the most requested downloads on our show.
She's amazing.
I don't doubt it.
Was Miranda.
Don't doubt it. I feel so bad for her because, you know, we did our filming in July and it's a cemetery. You're outside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her whole shtick is the ghost biker.
Yeah.
So here she shows up in jeans, leather boots, a leather jacket, and she's going through all this, you know, the scripted dialogue for the documentary host in July.
Uh-huh.
On some of the hottest days ever, and she's just melting, and I'm like, I feel so bad for her. She stuck it out. She did a great job. Everything, you know, by the time she had to go home, everything was perfect, and now it's just the assembly process.
She's just amazing. She's absolutely amazing. I can't wait to meet her in person, and I can't wait to ride with her.
Well, I hear she's an all-around great chick too.
Oh yeah, that's what I hear too. And she's just good.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's over. She's about 2.5 hours away.
Oh, that's a lot closer than me. I think I'm 10 hours away.
Exactly. Yeah. I could ride up there in a day.
For sure. So other than that, I have two other docs that we're working on that haven't been announced yet because I need to finish the first one first. I have a show that I'm currently in the works with trying to put together. A new paranormal show. It's not going to be something like Expedition Entity where, you know, there'll be 6 episodes and it'll stream, you know, all year long. This is one where the first one's a pilot and we're going to see how it goes. I don't know how it's going to go yet. I have, you know, part of the pre-production done and now it's just finding the location and getting things set up and then seeing what happens.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, I missed doing Expedition Entity, but You know, when Dan retired, it's hard to do a show without your partner.
Well, you could have done it with like a stick figure of him or something, or like a cutout.
I could have
life-size cutout.
I don't think the Phasma box would have swore at the stick figure.
Maybe you don't know.
You don't know till
you try.
I feel like it's just his special charisma that made the Phasma box and the spirits go, "Hey, fatso." and let me tell you, that's the most PG version of what they said.
Oh my goodness.
They gave him such a hard time. It was hilarious.
But
yeah, when he retired, you know, it's like half of the magic was gone. So yeah, you know, I wanted to do something new and once I get enough time to finish putting it together, then yeah, I'll have something new. Hopefully in the next month or two, I'll get that going. And then
awesome.
I'm also writing 2 books where one actually is starting the pre-order today. So I'm really excited about that.
Sweet.
I'm just waiting for Amazon to finally update the price like they're supposed to.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations on the birth of your new baby.
Thank you. So this, the first one is, it's an ebook. It's a really short ebook. Something just to kind of, to get out there and to kind of get the idea out. And I could talk about it now because I'm just waiting for the price to update and I'll make the post later today.
Right.
But it's about the dark side of social media in the paranormal community.
Nice.
And how, you know, social media is great. It allows us to do things exactly like what we're doing right now.
Uh-huh.
But there's things that are not so great about it. You know, confirmation biases and echo chambers and stuff like that, to where it takes a lot of the critical thinking out of the paranormal.
Right.
And you know, it makes it a little too entertainment based, which mm-hmm. is ironic coming from somebody on the entertainment side of the paranormal.
Right.
But it's true.
I look at you too. When you guys were on, Expedition Entity was one of the shows that I would watch. I don't watch paranormal shows. Mm-hmm. I just don't, because of the entertainment value there. There's only three shows that I actually watch and I'm able to get information from them that I can use in my own research. And yours was one of them.
Oh, thank you.
But that's the one reason why I don't watch the shows, is there's just nothing there. There's no information. It doesn't give me anything but an entertainment value. And it's not what my team's, my team is science based and we just don't do the entertainment crap.
Oh, there goes my cockatoo. Can you hear him?
Oh, you have a big bird?
I have a big bird. And he likes to remind me of his presence every day. Okay. Oh, there he goes again.
What does he say?
The only thing he actually says is hello and ah. But
how does that go again?
Ah.
Okay. Just making sure.
If this was pitch, it'd be like, clip it, repeat it over and over again.
Yep, exactly, right?
But
that's cool.
But yeah, there's so much going on this summer. In April, I just completed filming the production side of my short narrative, which I believe I sent that to you.
Okay. Yeah.
We got through the production. Right now it's in post-production, going through editing. Cool. And then sometime in the fall, it'll go through sound design. And I'm hoping come spring, I'll actually have something tangible to look at.
Sweet.
So I'm really excited about that. Watching it come together was a whole different process than what I ever did on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, Expedition Entity was kind of a three-man band, you know. Whereas we did a lot of the roles ourselves, you know, whereas 3B, my short narrative, I had a crew of like 20 people. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts where it's like, okay, we got to put this here, put this over there, that there, that there. And it's narrative. So it's completely different. There's no interviews. There's no B-roll. Everything down to, you know, the exact second is pre-planned and shot to be the exact way it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
So it was different. And I'm looking forward to taking that experience to the next project I have, another short narrative. Shorts only because they're financially expensive and I'm funding everything myself. So they're all shorts right now.
Yep.
But I have a horror short in the works where the actress that played my lead antagonist in 3B wants to be the lead actress in the next one too.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, I'd love to have you. Absolutely.
Nice.
So
it sounds like you've got a lot of cool people working around you.
I do. A lot of them are students from my time teaching at Northern Illinois University when I was getting my master's. A lot of them, you know, are interested in the paranormal, but they're more interested in the film side.
Yeah.
And I can show them some cool stuff. So they're like, yeah, I'd love to join. Sweet. Yeah. but I also have people in the paranormal that love to work with me too. You know, I've got Nat and Elliot from ACG Paranormal. They have
a doc
coming up here in the fall soon that I'm doing the cinematography on and the sound design on. And then, you know, that one is actually the second Sound of Spirits. The first one we did in 2022, I believe. And then that one, I had a load of fun with that. You know, I've got you guys. I have Bree and all these people, Scotty Rorick, they're like, please, when's the next time you're doing something? I want to jump in. I'm only one man. I can only do so much at once.
So how many episodes of that are you going to do?
For what?
For when you like you had Rourke on there, and then you're gonna have me in October.
Okay, so for you, that one is an event. That one is the library tour and a walking tour, the haunted walking tour. That one there's no filming. For the show that I'm developing right now, I only have the one episode. It's a pilot. It's kind of like a proof of concept. And then from that, once I get it done, I'm going to see about distribution. You know, I'll of course talk to Natalie Jones because I love being on Paraflix, and Paraflix is a great network. And more than likely she'll be interested in it. But I don't know. She might look at it and be like, oh, I've got a million things that look just like this. I'm not interested. And then I have to look elsewhere. So where it ends up going, I don't know yet. If there's an interest in it, I'm not 100% certain yet. I know. Oh, there he goes again. I know that from the shows that I've been seeing coming out recently, there still hasn't been anything that has the twist that my idea has. So,
oh, nice.
I'm thinking I'm still good. But you know, at the end of the day, things change quickly, so you never know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My plan though is if it gets picked up and somebody does want it. I'm hoping to have a revolving cast of psychic mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm able to bring in all sorts of my friends to film with.
Yeah. Right. How fun.
I hope so. I hope it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah, you know, Expedition Entity was kind of a third person sit down show. You know, everything happened in front of the cameras. Whereas with this show, it's using different equipment, different filming equipment. And it doesn't really match up with the equipment that I already had for Expedition Entity. Wow, he's really pissed off. He's like, pay attention to me. Rah. So I'm hoping that when the time comes. There we go. Tell the bird to be quiet. When the time comes, you know, the first episode will go over really well, and then I'll be able to carry it forward.
Nice. Nice.
Sounds like a good time. I mean, I'm looking forward to doing this with you in October, and
yeah,
I appreciate the heads up and asking me to do it. Yeah, because that's kind of like the downside of my season at the club is, you know, things are starting to wind down, and I'll have a little bit more free time and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that'll work perfectly. And I've already asked for it off, you know. So my boss said, yeah, sure. So.
Sweet.
So yeah, I'm excited about it, you know. And all the things that you've got going on right now and that you're doing and with your social media presence and everything is, you know, I mean, you're really moving things to where you're putting your footprint on that, you know what I mean?
I'm trying really hard, you know, especially with social media, you know. It's kind of a chore to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
It is a big chore.
Very consistent. You have to be putting the right material out that people want to engage with. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you just have to get lucky. Right. And, you know, a couple of the posts that I've put out, people have responded very well to, and I've gotten lucky. So, you know, what's really gonna be the determining factor is, you know, when I go to put this book out, the pre-order today, mm-hmm. you know, how many people are going to engage with that? When I launch
your first book?
Oh, this will be my fifth.
Okay.
So I have the two that I published with Dan, Ghost of the Black Hawk War and Afterlife Anthology. We have a third one together called Paranormal Theories that we never really talk about because it was self-published and the editing is really bad.
Oh boy.
I really should go back and do like a second edition just so I can fix the editing and grammar.
Yeah.
That book is based on mine and Dan's paranormal theories that date back all the way to 2012.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, there's things that people, you know, widely accept now as a theory that he and I were talking about over 10 years ago.
I got a theory on when a soul enters a body.
Okay.
You and I have to talk offline on that one because it's a little bizarre.
Sure. Well, you know, we've got some bizarre theories in that book too. You know, we try to figure out why spirits haunt cemeteries, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the theories is that your body is basically your spiritual anchor. You know, you have a spiritual tether to it, to where you could always follow that chain right back to your body again. And that's why we can contact spirits really easily in cemeteries.
Okay.
And the same can be said for the locations that you die. You know, you had this traumatic experience happen, and it left a lasting impression on you, and you're always going to be able to find that spot again.
That's 80% of most traumatic death hauntings are what you said is a tethering to the traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, about doing investigations around a tour of doing places where tragic events had happened, and try to document the amount of paranormal events, you know, these tragic things that happen. Mm-hmm. Airplane crashes, you know, volcano like Mount St. Helens and all that, you know, compared to just like normal houses that, you know, everybody says, you know, my house is haunted here, pay us this money and you can investigate, you know what I mean? Kind of take that comparison to certain geographical places and just be like, hey, you know, what's the correlation? You know, is there more here or is there more here? You know what I mean? So
sure.
I think that tethering with that tragic event, you're going to find that a lot more. And a lot of people that I've talked to who are in the paranormal field, they would rather go to some places like that because they know that there's going to be some, you know, tethered souls there, you know?
Right. Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, most people don't realize this because they watch the YouTube videos or, you know, the stuff from the Travel Channel, but all those guys that edit this stuff, they make it look like it's really easy. And it's really not.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Like, it's not. You know, ghost hunters used to do this. It was, I always found it hilarious. They made it seem like their investigation took place overnight.
Oh, yeah.
When in reality, they filmed for a week.
Yeah.
And there's so many times where they got nothing all night mm-hmm. long. And then that part just didn't make the episode.
Right.
And that happens, you know, more than people realize.
Mm-hmm. It does. It
you
does.
Know, listeners, I heard you're listening of to this being... now, you're going to realize that there's been a lot of times where we'll just sit in an empty room in a dark room happens for 5 hours or 6 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are the times where those things don't get on TV because nobody wants to see people just sitting in the dark doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And
asking simple
that's
questions
why people
every
are...
once in a while, and then you get other people that are just like, you know, when they watch those TV shows, they're kind of misleading, but, you know, hardcore people who are into the paranormal understand that concept.
Right.
They know that it's not all cut and dry like that. You know, there's,
and I feel like that's why investigators are drawn to those tragic spots because it almost guarantees you're going to get something within those 5 hours.
Right.
Maybe not. I don't think you're going to get anything at Mount St. Helens, quite frankly. That's now like 50 feet below the surface.
Well, true. Yeah,
that mud flow is pretty big.
What I've always wanted to investigate is I'm drawing a blank on it now. Everest.
Oh,
all the people that have lost their lives on Everest, and most of them are just out there. They're just left out there.
Yeah, you have to. You can't bring them down.
Can't bring them down.
Right.
And
they
and
die
half
up
the
there,
time,
they have to stay up there.
Half the time, you might not even be able to find them because of the snow.
Right.
So, you know, that's a lot of people all over that mountain to where if you find a relatively safe spot to set up and do some investigating, what are you going to get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get EMF contamination. Not up there.
No.
You know, audio might be a chore because of the wind.
Right.
But, you know, you maybe the SB7.
Well, the other thing that's going to be a char doing something like that is the amount of time that you're able to spend at the peak.
That too. Well, you might not need to go to the peak, though, because
well,
a lot
yeah,
of
you might not.
Before
but
they
even
get there.
Even then, there's lines of people waiting to get up Everest. It's not like mm-hmm. it was before where just a few people were climbing Everest. Everybody wants to climb Everest, and there's a line waiting to get up the mountain.
Right. So I think that'd be interesting to try that out. I'll mm-hmm. probably never do it because I get winded walking up the stairs, but
yeah, anyway, well, yeah.
So That you count me out.
Yeah, I'm done. Nope, not going.
Somebody out there is going to go to Everest, and they're going to find spirits, and they're going to talk to them. I'm going to be like, remember that episode from Jay and Kelly and Larry were talking, and they're like, yeah, you should go to Everest. I got to credit those guys.
Yeah, so let me ask you, some of the experiences that you've had in the last couple years, I mean, do you think that some of the paranormal activity has increased a little bit more, or is it just something that you've come across intermittently?
It's weird to say, but I've never really had a problem getting stuff. Okay. You know, like activity-wise, you know, yeah, I might sit for 30 minutes trying to get the conversation started, but I've never walked away from anywhere where I had nothing happen. So, that being said, I haven't really noticed an increase or a decrease or even really a change in activity, at all. You know, everything still to me seems to be pretty much the same as when I started 15 years ago.
Back to the individual person and what their frequency is and what their makeup is and what is drawn to them and what you know you're drawn to, and
sure,
you know, there's other people that have been in this field for a long time, and you know, they just don't get stuff like when they were real young, and they, you know, I think that they were more receptive to get more things, and then people just kind of get out of it because they kind of, it's just like they lose interest, or you know, nothing happens or whatever. And I think a lot of it nowadays, as of late, I think some of these older investigators, such as myself, I mean, not saying that I do, but I mean, are,
that means I'm fucking ancient.
So, or that, you know, like I'm gonna leave or anything like that, but I mean, like, there's people that are older that are just not, it's not the fact that they're losing interest, it's just the fact that there's nothing really happening. You know, I mean, some of these younger kids are getting so much more, but then that begs the question of, are they getting so much more?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of that different aspects going on about, you know, the paranormal field and, you know, what's real and what's not real and this and that, and who wants to do this and who wants to, you know, it's mm-hmm. just, if you're genuine enough, and I've always said this, if you are truly a genuine person and that you want to find the truth on certain things, there'll be things out there that you can discover. But if your intention is just to, you know, be famous or to do jump scares or whatever, you're in the wrong business.
Sure.
And I think what you do is bringing that whole paranormal idea of research and filming and the questions and kind of like full circle, because I've been watching you guys do this for a while now, and you have different aspects and different ways of doing things. You're not doing the same thing over and over again. You know what I mean? So that in itself is kind of a positive mindset that you want to always change things up. And I think that you guys do. And like I said, with, you know, small town productions, I think that's great that you have that outlet to be able to do that. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Having said that, where do you see, that was my next question, where do you see small town productions going?
With that one, I don't know. You know, ever since 2019, small town productions has always been Dan and I, and then with his retirement, now it's just me, and I feel like I'm still getting used to that. You know, so, and then with the wrapping up of
Expedition. How long were you guys together investigating?
The company started in 2019, but he and I have been investigating together since 2010.
Okay. So yeah, it's like a marriage breaking up.
Pretty much. And, you know, he's told me on the side, I'm like, you know, if you ever want to do like a one-off doc or something, I'm totally on board.
Okay.
He's like, I just don't want to, you know, make this my life. I you know, I want to be retired, but I'll still do stuff with you. And I'm like, perfect, great. We'll work on something.
That works.
But
yeah. And you know, says a lot. That says a lot for Dan's character.
Oh, absolutely. You
know? Oh,
absolutely. And you guys are in the paranormal.
I'm really
you
disappointed
know how
I didn't get to meet him.
You guys are in the paranormal. You know how dramatic it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, just the other day, I saw this long post from Cody and Satori about leaving the Conjuring house, and now this is this whole dramatic thing, and it's just like, it's just this, yeah, this field will that. Never get rid of that stuff.
Right. I saw that, but you actually, to think about it, did it really need to be said?
No. I don't think so.
No, it didn't.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Could they have just not, you know.
I'm looking at right now, and I'm wondering if I need to talk about her or not. And so far, it's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just kind of weird that whole press release was presented, and people read it, and people are kind of like, huh? You know?
Right. I had no idea what was even going on.
Nope.
Right. I only heard bits and pieces, but
yeah,
to me, and I'm not trying to be an ass, but I don't care.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's not affecting me directly, you know, I mean, if I didn't have a stake in that house or something like that, then yeah. Mm-hmm. But even then, I don't think I would, unless it was a PSA that needed to be said to other paranormal people going there saying, hey, we're not going to be there anymore. That's basically all you had to say.
Right. Which the Conjuring House supposedly put something out saying they're looking for paranormal tour guides and stuff. So, I mean, sometimes people feel like they need to make a statement before somebody else makes a statement for them. And I get that. Right. You know, you want to do damage control.
I get that. When
you're bigger and you have to worry about your PR, but it's like now there's all this drama surrounding why they left and why Conjuring House is looking for new people. And it's like, all right, whatever. Right. Just gonna ignore that.
Yeah.
And there's always gonna be more stuff like that. Always more stuff like that. It's just kind of the name of the game. And that's part of the reason why Dan wanted out is like I'm tired of all this drama on Facebook and then people asking me my opinion on it. He's like, I don't care. I don't care about what they're doing, what they're saying. That doesn't affect me. Right. But
only if it affects me directly, then I might have a say in it. But if it's not something that, you know, I see all these posts and I see even on Twitter, and that's why I left Twitter. I mean, it was just, you know, the less interaction and I just would see some BS or, you know, on other platforms even. And I'm like, why does this have to be said unless it's directing, you know, if it's like a threat to you or your family or something else or whatever, you know, it's the paranormal. It's not the CDC. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not I don't know how to describe it, you know? So I watch or I see all these posts that people argue amongst themselves or, you know, declare that, you know, this person sent me this message of how dumb I am and he didn't know me. And it's like, who cares?
Right.
You know, it sucks that it happened, but do you really have to post about it? Do you really, you know, I mean, somebody's going to read that and say, yeah, that really sucks. But I don't know. I just look at it as in why, you know?
Well, and that's part of the pedestal that we put people on. In the paranormal community in general, but also kind of in life. You know, I had a discussion, I don't remember who it was with, about paranormal celebrities. And, you know, you start rattling off names and you're just like, oh, I know them from this. I know this from this. I know this from this. I'm like, that's because you're in the community.
Right.
Every single paranormal celebrity, the vast majority of them are D-level celebrities at best.
Oh, at best in the real world. Absolutely. Best. Yeah.
You know, there might be some that are C-level, like Patty Negri is probably C-level. You know, she's recognized outside of her stuff that she's done with Ghost Adventures.
Right.
But the vast majority are only, even Zach Bagans is only known for his show and then maybe a couple docs. That's about it. He's a D.
Oh, and Chasing the Place, the Playboy Bunny.
Well,
known for that too.
Right. But, you know, it's not like there's films or things like that that people are known about. People in the paranormal community might look at them and be like, oh, my God, Zach Bagans, he's an A-list celebrity. No, he's really not.
Not in the real world.
But when you get treated that way for so long, it makes you think that way. And it makes you think, oh, I gotta, you know, limit the damage of this potential thing that could affect me when you really don't have
I would actually say that, you know, I would probably put Jason Hawes and Stephen Consolves above Zach Bagans.
Absolutely.
I like I like their style on how they investigate and their research.
I think that could be a listing within the paranormal community, but as a celebrity in general, they're all the same.
Right.
Because they're only known for their reality TV show, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, being an author doesn't count.
When reality TV show came out, everybody thought that, oh, I want to be a reality TV star.
No.
And to be honest with you, you really didn't. You know, you don't really get paid
to be around.
I mean,
people seem to think that they get a cut of their episodes and stuff like that, like on Friends. You know, those guys made a ton of money every episode. Yeah, this isn't Friends. This is hey, we're gonna do 10 episodes this season. You're gonna get paid $100 per episode. That's what you're getting. And any money that you make after that has to be you going to conferences and you fighting to get your bills covered so that you can go there without being at a negative.
Right. And a lot of the paranormal reality stars, you know, they get their money by their appearances.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that is what it is. You know,
and a lot of times
not getting the money being on a set or there is no set, you know, you're in the real world, and I'm not trying to knock some of these shows or some of these things that, you know, these parent celebrities do or whatever, because there's a few of them that I do actually appreciate and like, and this and that, but there's other ones that I can't even imagine how they got there. You know what I mean?
Luck.
And it's all just luck. Not that I ever wanted to be a celebrity anyways, you know what I mean? But I wanted to be kind of known for finding the truth or researching the history of something so people would be aware and educational and to find it useful.
That's kind of the reason why we got together was because of the history thing, the connection for the history.
Mm-hmm. A lot of paranormal shows, they go through a casting agency where the investigators are cast onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Travel Channel reached out to, you know, Small Town Productions and said, hey, you know, you guys do great on Expedition Eddie, let's bring your entire cast over here and do it on this show instead.
No.
Mm-mm. They're all cast to be on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's luck. Sometimes you have the right look. Sometimes you say things the right way. Sometimes you have just enough experience to be considered on a role. Or you do what, you know, Ghost Hunters did, and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time. Right. And the industry picked you up, and now you're, you know, near the top for our community.
Right.
But other than that, you know, like myself, I'm never going to get on Discovery or anything big like that because there are a million and one people trying to do the exact same thing.
Right.
The exact same thing. It's just like a musician, a music band trying to start out when there's, you know, thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of bands out there that are, you know, not really known, and they only have like 5,000 followers on Spotify.
Right.
And, but they put out really good music, but nobody knows because it's so saturated with so many musicians and artists. And it's like everybody wants to amount to something, which I get. And that's great to have that drive to be able to accomplish something, but not do it at any cost. And there's a lot of those people out there.
However
they want to sell their souls, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's just society, the way we live it, the world we live in now, but because nobody can afford to live where we're living now.
Right.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about is everybody has their own reason as to why they got into the paranormal. And you have to focus on that reason as to why you got in. And that's how you develop your entire presence, persona in the
paranormal. Well, my reason changed, though.
Paranormal. What was that?
My reason changed, though.
Oh, what? It did?
I got into the paranormal to disprove the paranormal.
Ah.
So, you know, my beginning... I was extremely skeptical because I knew video editing and photo editing and you know, I was on a web forum for Bachelor's Grove Cemetery and, you know, people were submitting other stuff or things they caught in there. And I'm like, hey, yeah, if you do this adjustment on, you know, this slider on GIMP, the photo editing software, you can see the edge of the layer that they put over the background image. It's fake.
And
finally someone got mad at me and they go, okay, well, you're going to come investigate with us instead. Okay. And then finally I experienced real paranormal stuff. And then eventually, you know, we Dan and I leaned more into the sciencey stuff. We took a more scientific route to make sure that, hey, you know, we can't explain why this is happening. This is what we tried, and it might be paranormal. But even that kind of, I outgrew that. You know, I don't want to be the sciencey person. You know, at the point I'm at now, I'm just here to tell stories. That's all I care about.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't care if, you know, well, if you would have used this $300 EMF meter instead of that $80 EMF meter, it would have been more scientific. I don't care. I do not care.
If you want to prove the
science of it, oh, you can get them for $12. But if you want to prove the science of it, use the episode that I filmed and go and investigate it yourself. Because that's the whole point of the show, was to get people to go to these locations and help support them and have their own experiences.
Right.
That's another thing, Larry, is the fact that the episodes that you guys did for Expedition Entity, who knew that some of those episodes that somebody might model some of that information or that technique and doing that and finding the truth in a different way, more so than they were before. You know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
The educational aspect of it and the learning aspect of it, especially for your guys' show, was pivotal in the paranormal field. And a lot of people didn't really appreciate that, because you had the naysayers and the people, just because of the fact that you were on Paraflix, you know, they were just basically saying, oh, they don't do that right. Or they don't, you know, because of the fact that jealousy is an ugly pig.
Well,
You know, people just, you know, instead of taking it for what it was worth, which was educational and to be able to learn about a location and the history, and you happen to get, you know, EVPs and other things, and it's just a bonus, and people can take that and appreciate that. But there's too many people nowadays who do not do that. They just, they bark at it because they didn't think of it first. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, when it came to the show, we always had three goals in mind. Number one is we had to find a lesser known haunted location.
Yes.
And for the most part, we did that. When we did Tinker Swiss Cottage, it's not entirely lesser known, but we did do it before Jack Osborne did. And I'm going to stick to my guns on that one. But Jack Osborne made up way too much stuff on his episode that was far from the truth. So I'm sticking to that too. But we leaned into lesser known because there are locations out there that are in danger of being turned into a parking lot.
Yes.
And you should, if there's somebody willing to buy the property and try to maintain it, and they need help by renting the place out for a ghost hunting cruise, and nobody knows about it, we're going to lose that location.
Right.
So that's, we sought after those locations as much as we could, lesser known. And sometimes with scheduling, it didn't work out, and we had to do a cemetery or a battlefield or something. But, you know, for the most part, we did pretty good. Number two is, you know, everything that we filmed on the show, kind of like how I brought up before with Ghost Hunters, it made it look like it was one night, but it was really a week. Everything on Expedition Entity was recorded in the amount of time that you could rent the building for. So, you know, for Broadhead Manor, you can get the building all night long. We had a little bit longer to film there. For the Egyptian Theater, you can normally rent it for 4 hours, and then for an additional fee, you can add an hour or two. So we investigated for 4 hours and then paid an extra hour for the beginning and an extra hour for the end for our equipment setup. So in total, we were there for 6 hours, but the investigation was only 4 hours long.
Did you get anything over there?
Nonstop.
Nonstop activity?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, it's just sometimes we're lucky. You know, things tend to work out for us. You know, when we were there, we were doing, I think it might have been a ghost box session in the dressing room, which is under the stage.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this like weird growl came from the bathroom at the far end of the dressing room, which is where a spirit, a young woman. Well, I hope not, because there's nobody in there. But the spirit of a young woman is known to haunt that bathroom, and you hear her crying. So, you know, we hear this weird growling rah, noise. And it happens two or three times during filming. So, you know, we get the idea to, okay, we're going to set up some gear in this bathroom and we're just going to walk away. Just walk away, leave not only the dressing room area, but the stage area and go up by the front lobby and take like a 30-minute break. So while we left all that equipment down there, in the audio recorder, you can hear somebody pounding on a stall door.
Oh, wow.
And sobbing, "Let me in."
Wow.
And it all took place in the 4 hours we were supposed to be there.
Wow.
So, you know, this is all stuff that somebody can watch the episode and be like, hey, this is what they experienced. Let me try to work this into my investigation.
Yeah.
I know that they had this in this stall in this bathroom. I'm going to set something up in there too and see what I can get. Or I'm going to take their idea and add to it with my experiment.
Right.
And sometimes it worked for other people. Sometimes, you know, they couldn't replicate it because the spirits don't act on command. They do what they do because they want to.
Right.
But the most important thing
is
some of these
in a loop and they do it anyway.
And they do it anyway. Right. Which I might be the case for that one. I think that one's residual.
It sounds residual to me.
Yeah. But more importantly, some of these locations came out of it with full schedules the next year.
Mm-hmm.
People were booking it up left and right because
them.
They saw some cool
Good
stuff they saw on our show. Right. And then, you know, like with Broadhead after season 3, episode 1, that won the Telly Award. Broadhead was just packed with people nonstop. You know, you've got people that are on Paraflix going to Broadhead and checking it out, which is cool.
Well, when we were at that Rock Island show in last year, I wanted to talk to you guys about one of the episodes that I saw because I saw the draperies fluttering behind you.
Oh,
and I think I ended up asking Bill about it. And I said, "Is there an air vent underneath there?" And he just smiles his big, huge grin and he goes, "Nope."
There is no HVAC in that building at all.
I'm sitting there watching these drapes going back and forth in the background. And I'm like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And it was paranormal. That just, I can't wait to get up there.
Well, you know, even during the interview, we had this weird, like, ball bouncing sound. And you know, I'm doing the video and the audio. So I got my headphones on. I'm just listening and, you know, trying to watch to make sure no one goes out of frame or something like that. And all of a sudden I hear, what the hell is that? And you know, they kind of wrap up and then we stop and I go, is the dog tapping its tail? Are you guys hitting your chairs or, you know, and they're like, no, we're sitting perfectly still. And lo and behold, in the audio of the recording, you could hear this tennis ball sound thumping on the floor.
Wow.
And then it's like, where did that come from?
That's so awesome. Well, it's like what I tell my entire team when we go out. I said, you're not listening for things to happen. You're not listening for balls. You're not listening for people to talk. You're not listening for this. You're not listening for that. You're listening for things that are out of the ordinary.
Right. Right.
And as long as you go into a location with just that whole generalization of you're just listening for something out of the ordinary, you're waiting to see something out of the ordinary, you're going to do great. Yeah.
Most of the time, because it's a production, I don't have that opportunity.
Right.
I have to focus on what they say, how they say it, how loud they are, what they look like, and all this other stuff. But, and it happens in editing too. Like, I'll be listening to something, and I know something happened if all the hair in my arm stand up. Then I go, rewind, hold on, I have to listen to that closer now. Oh, okay, yeah, there's a voice there. So, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't until I'm at home and I realize it. But, you know, in that particular case, that thumping was super loud.
Yeah,
you know, and they didn't hear it, and it's like,
who could have been thumping the ball around? Yeah,
right, kid in the hallway just thump.
So it's stuff like that you guys capture and that you guys put out in that way, and it's, you know, people can hear it and experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to, you know, certain people, it's going to make them want to experience that themselves, you know, especially like with the Egyptian, you know, it's not cheap to investigate the Egyptian right away.
No,
it's The Egyptian, the director of the Egyptian, Alex, told me, him and Janine told me, that during COVID, when everything was shut down, the paranormal saved that theater.
Good.
Because they could still rent it out to small groups, and that money allowed them to pay their bills.
Good for them.
Right.
That's and awesome.
So, you know,
that's what I love about the place.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, it's just that fact that it's really expensive. There's some places that aren't really that expensive, and then there's places that are so expensive that it's astronomical that it's crazy. You know, like, what I mean? Conjuring House? I mean, there's some places out there that people are buying these properties and then charging astronomical amount of money, where, you know, some people have gone to some of these places saying, I don't think this place is haunted. You know what I mean? So they're just buying old buildings and trying to say, yeah, they're haunted. So let's all go.
I've heard a lot of stories about the Conjuring House, about the Conjuring House not being as haunted as it actually is. Right. And, you know, we actually looked into doing an episode there. And because it was so far away from us, I'm like, we're going to need 2 days just to make sure we get everything. One whole day focused on nothing but B-roll and interviews, daytime, nighttime B-roll and all that stuff, just so I don't miss anything. And then a whole day of investigating. When I went to price it out, it was thousands of dollars a day, only because we're a production company. It was an added fee because we're a production company. And because of that, I will not pay to go to the Conjuring House. You know, like you know, even YouTube, if you have a YouTube channel, your content's going to YouTube, you have to pay extra money. That is what we were told. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. If you want to try to fleece me out of thousands of dollars simply because you think I'm making all this money off the paranormal because I have a production company, you are sorely mistaken.
Oh, you're rich and famous. I knew that.
Apparently so.
That's where a lot of people are just off, way off base with that. You know, paranormal does not make any money, people.
No.
I mean, we may investigate, and we have, you know, a couple other shows that we do, you know, podcasts. You know, I mean, I have Studio 6 Media Productions is on Ghost Planet Network in the UK. You know what I mean? So, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not getting paid for that.
Right.
And I didn't ask to be paid for it just because of the fact that he just, you know, wants to put stuff out, and it's an actual TV show and this and that. But, you know, we're not making tons of money.
I do what I do to write my books. I do what I do to write.
Right. There's other people that make money, you know, in the paranormal field, you know, sell merchandise and, you know, certain appearances and this and that. And that's all well good. That's what you have to do it. But being in the paranormal field as long as me and Kelly have, we're not rolling in it.
No.
You're not rolling in it.
I think I have, like a dozen events so far scheduled for this year. And the majority of those events, I'm breaking even getting there. And that's new this year. Last year, on average, because of hotels, I was negative $200 to $600 every event.
Yeah.
And you know, this year I made a boundary and I said that, you know, if it's drivable for me, fine. You know, we can make this work, whatever. If I have to drive more than 2 hours, I need a hotel or I'm not coming.
Right.
I cannot keep spending hotel money for your event, your 3-day event, and then walk away in the red.
Right.
And you know, I might sell a couple things at my booth. You know, I sell books and some other smaller things just to try to help cover my food costs, my gas costs and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty much breaking even.
Right. At the end of the day, you're an unregistered nonprofit donating your time to other events.
Right. Essentially. And you know, this year I'm doing my workshop on producing the paranormal, for producing a paranormal documentary. That one I'm hoping fills up, because I actually stand to make some money doing this, but it's not really the paranormal that I'm making the money off of. It's teaching film techniques to people that want to learn them.
Right.
It's just their genre is the paranormal.
Right.
Right.
You know, that's the, I got paid to do that to teach undergrads at the university. Right. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing, but I'm just bending it towards the paranormal now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, you know,
I've written for years, but now I'm bending my writing to the paranormal.
Right.
My train again.
Right. Well, sounds better than my cockatoo.
Oh, I love my train. I absolutely love living with a train right behind me. Doesn't bother me one bit.
There was a point in time in my life where I lived near an airport, and it's so easy to just ignore the sound of a plane taking off or landing, where, you know, someone would come over and they're just like,
oh, what's going on? The house is shaking and
Oh, that's just Amazon. They're landing another freight plane. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I had a friend that lived in the flight path for SeaTac, and that was a rumble. I mean, they were coming in so low sometimes that the house literally just shook.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me one bit.
We're getting close to our time here, but why don't you tell people where they can find you and what you got going on? So
in his basement with his cockatoo yelling and screaming upstairs. That's where you can find
him. That's usually where I'm at. The best place to find me, honestly, is Facebook. Larry Eisler 3, the same name you can see on here. I'm most active on there.
We're not doing video.
Oh. Oh, well then, Larry Eisler 3.
You don't even have to look good.
L-E-R. I just happen to be wearing a button up today. That's all.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Nice.
But not that any of them will ever see it, though. But yeah, the best place to find me is Facebook. I'm most active there. I share stuff automatically to Instagram, but I'm not super active on it. I'm not active on Twitter. I pretty much all but dropped it. Yeah. I pretty much all but dropped TikTok just because, you know.
It's annoying.
In order to grow those communities, I have to be constantly posting and doing stuff.
Right.
And I only have enough mental capacity to focus on one.
Right.
And I chose Facebook.
Right.
So that's that. You could also find me on Amazon. My two books, my third book, the pre-release comes out today. It's called Haunted by Likes, The Dark Side of Social Media and the Paranormal Community. Pre-order starts today, and then the 21st of July is when it fully comes out. But it's an ebook, so if you buy it now, it goes to your Kindle, and then as soon as the 21st comes, it just is available to read.
Right, exactly.
And it's super short.
When you get out there, send me the links to all your books, and then we will post them on Cemetery Files.
Sweet, yeah absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then other than that, you know, you can find me on Paraflix for Expedition Entity. There's also another doc on there called Broadhead Manor, the Paraflix Special Investigation, which that one was a lot of fun. I investigated with Rob Thompson and Natalie Jones, Petty Negri, Nat and Elliot, a bunch of people. That was a wild time. I had to take like 8 or 8 to 10 cameras and mold them together into this one cohesive story. With like 50 people investigating different floors of the building at the same time.
Wow.
it was a monumental task, but it came out. So I was really excited about that.
Good.
Good.
But otherwise, you know, find me on Facebook and then you'll see all my stuff on there.
Yeah. Well, I also
wanted to tell you real quick too, that, you know, when you talk about, you know, all these shots and all these shows that you've done and, mm-hmm. your experiences and this and that, I could see you making a documentary on the best of Larry Eisler the Third.
So that was actually discussed. It was not really the best of me, but to just put a best of Expedition Entity together from all the episodes and to focus on some of the best catches that we had. And it doesn't have to be an hour long. It could be half an hour long.
You got to focus on Larry's expressions when he gets something. Right, that's the best part.
Do I make faces?
No.
Kind of, you know, make it fun and throw some bloopers in there. And
Oh, I got a lot of those. I got a lot of those. I have so many bloopers. Jen. We filmed with Jenny Coles. We were at the Roadhouse. The Roadhouse in Oregon, Illinois, and in this one particular spot, the women's restroom, there's a female spirit. So we said, hey, we're gonna shove Jenny Coles in the women's restroom. And we're just gonna put a bunch of cameras in there. It's a tight room. So like the camera's like this close to her face because there's nowhere else to put it. And, you know, I walk in, I'm like, hey, you good to go? Everything's set? She's like, yeah, yeah, I'm good. And then as soon as I walk out and she watches the door close, she looks at my camera and then starts making faces at it. and she goes, that's for later.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's stuff like that that people want, you know, make it a movie. Make it, yeah. You know, not only just the best of, but the bloopers and then throw in some serious stuff in there and make it like a documentary. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just have that. I could just see that going, like people loving that. You know what I mean?
It is. It's in the works, but it's in a long list of things that I still have to do. I'm working on the Miranda Young doc. That one is, I've been sitting on for several years because of college. So now that college is over with, you know, I can really put focus on that. I'm also writing a book at the same exact time. So when I get burned out editing video, I go to my book. When I get burned out with my book, I go back to editing video. I'm hoping the book will be done by the end of summer, and then I can see where it's going to go from there.
Awesome.
But, you know, yeah, that is on the list somewhere. and you know, Dan always gave me a hard time. He's like, you have like 30 terabytes of footage from the show. What are you going to do with that? I'm like, you never know. You never know when you need it.
Stick it away in a safe.
They are. There's, I think, four or five terabyte drives with all the footage from the show on there, and they're in a fireproof safe.
Good.
And every once in a while, I'll look at it and be like,
define fireproof safe, like in a bank?
No, it's like one of those little tiny briefcase size safes.
I have news for you. They don't withstand a fire.
I know. They're labeled that way, but more than likely, it probably acts like an oven.
Dust.
Right. But, you know, it feels good. And it's heavy, so it's not like they can feel it. But yeah, I always told him, like, you never know when I could need something.
Right.
Just recently, I'm working with Diet on a reel for her, an actor's reel for stuff that she's been in.
Yeah.
And I could go back and I find all this footage of me recording for her, and I'm just like, I'm gonna take this piece out of this drive, this piece out of that drive, this one out of this drive, and now I have a reel.
Yeah.
So you never know when you need footage.
That's awesome. That's great.
So, and then who knows, you know, I might end up shooting a film at Broadhead Manor one day. And I'm like, man, I really need a creepy shot of somebody walking down a hallway. Oh, wait a minute. I have that B-roll. I have that already. So you never know.
That's awesome. Well, we want to thank you, Larry, for being on the show. It's been a joy talking with you. Can't wait to work with you on October 12th.
I'll be busy. Fox River Grove. It is a community event for the Fox River Grove Memorial Library. Right. And I did an event with them last year. And
it's hard to keep up.
There's a ton. But I did an event with them last year, and I think they had 50 people show up. And a lot of those people then continued to go to the library afterwards, where they hadn't gone to the library in years.
Good.
So, you know, I really like supporting libraries and town community events like that, because, you know, like when I was a kid, that's the only place you can go to. There was no Google where you could look everything up. It was, hey, I'm going to go across the street to the library.
Yeah.
And we don't want to lose those places.
No.
Right.
So
this is true.
Even though they are getting much smaller.
They are.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And this will be uploaded today. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And I want to thank Larry. I want to thank Kelly. And
my pleasure.
This has been fun.
Yeah, thanks,
Larry. I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me.
That was a good shot.
Thank you.
Ha, ha, ha.